أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أحب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد، واللعنة الدائمة الباقية لأعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: يريدون أن يطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم ويأبى الله إلا أن يتم نوره ولو كره الكافرون. صلوات پڑھنے ایک بار. We've gathered tonight to commemorate the wafat of Zainab Salawatullah Alayha, the great lady in the history of Islam, especially in the history of Shiism. And I would like to take this opportunity to talk about the impact of her struggle in the survival of the true Islam, especially in the survival of the Shi'i perspective of Islam. And I would like to begin with the introduction about the struggle between good and evil. When we look at the issue of the struggle between good and evil, we have to realize that this has been there from the early days of humanity. Right from the time when Adam alayhi salam was created. So you have this struggle between Adam alayhi salam and Shaitan. And then you come to the situation of Habil versus Qabil. And then you come to Ibrahim alayhi salam versus Namrud, Musa alayhi salam versus Fir'aun, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam versus the enemies in among the Quraysh, especially Abu Sufyan. Then we come to the era of Amir al-Mu'mineen and his opponents. And then finally we come to the struggle in form of the struggle in Karbala. On one side you have Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu wa salam, and the other side you have Yazid bin Muawiyah. These two opposing forces have been there from the early days of humanity. And this concept has been beautifully presented by Allama Iqbal in his poetry in Farsi, where he says, Musa Fir'aun Shabbir Yazid in du quwwat az hayat amat padid. He says, Moses and Pharaoh, Shabbir and Yazid, these two powers emerge with human life. Zende haq az quwwat-e shabbiri ast, batil akhir daagh-e hasrat-e miri ast. Truth is alive from Shabbir's power. Falsehood is finally a hopeful dream. And so even Allama Iqbal here talks about this concept that these two powers emerge with human life. When human beings were created, the struggle between good and evil has been there from the very beginning. And this struggle, which started with the dawn of humanity, reached to its peak in Karbala, where Hussein ibn Ali became the representation of the good forces, while Yazid bin Muawiyah became the representation of the evil forces. Interestingly, if you look at Ziyarat al-Warisa, which has been taught to us by Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, you will see that he also talks about the struggle between Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Yazid as a virasat. Virasat means Hussein in Karbala was not just one individual. He represented Adam, he represented Ibrahim, he represented Musa, he represented Isa, he represented Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the waris of Ali and Hassan. So he became the embodiment of the good forces of the earlier times. And on the opposite side, on a corresponding manner, you will see that Yazid becomes the representation of Shaitan, Qabil, Namrud, Fir'aun, Shaddad, Busufyan, and Muawiyah, of course. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically, you know, talks about this issue that this struggle has been there from very beginning. And the evil forces will always try to put out the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is reflected in the message of the prophets and the messengers. In Surah Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah number 9, he says, يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِعُوا نُورَ اللَّهَ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ, that they desire to extinguish, to put off the light of Allah with the blowing of their mouths. وَيَعْبَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَن يُتِيمَّ نُورَهُ, but Allah wills to perfect and protect his light. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ, even if the unbelievers, you know, don't like this preservation. And so in this struggle, Allah's will to protect his nur and light manifests in form of those who support his cause and his message. And in this choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there were not only anbiya and the a'imma, even some women played a very important role as far as you being supportive in the struggle in support of the good against the evil. These women were not prophets or imam, but their support was very crucial in this, in preserving and sustaining the divine message for the human society. And among those chosen ladies were Bibi Fatima Zahra salawatullah alayha and her daughter Bibi Zainab salawatullah alayha. In studying the events that unfolded after the demise of the Prophet, we can surely say that the biggest supporter of the cause of Imam Ali was Bibi Fatima. And similarly, when we move forward in history, we can say that the biggest supporter of the cause of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was his sister Zainab binti Ali wa Fatima salawatullah alayhi ajma'in salawat. To understand the contribution of Bibi Zainab, there are different ways of talking about it. I had taken the opportunity in the past to talk about her khutbah in details, but tonight I would like to highlight two things. One was that her contribution basically highlighted the tyranny of Yazid against Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Yazid is Zalim and Hussein is Mazlum. And the second, she was actually able to sow the seeds of Shiaism in the land known as Sham. You see, we had to realize that when we look at the contemporary history, this is not how history has been in the past. When we use the term Sham, normally it's translated as Syria. But we have to realize that when we talk about Sham during the early days of Islam, all the way to the First World War, Sham applied to the area, which includes Syria of the present time, Lebanon, Palestine, and Jordan. So it was a very vast land known as Sham. Sometimes they used the plural tense. They say Shamat, you know, plural of Sham. And Sham became the heartland of the Umayyad power. Muawiyah actually gained control of Sham. And this is during the time of the first and the second Khalifa. Initially, that area was given to Yazid bin Abu Sufyan, the older brother of Muawiyah. When he died and other senior officers died in a pandemic in that region during the days of Umar, he actually appointed him as the governor of Sham also. And when he gained control of that area of Sham, Muawiyah started a campaign of tarnishing the image of Imam Ali alayhi salam and his family. What he did was three things. Number one, he started a campaign to prevent the narrations and the spread of the prophetic ahadith in the praise of Imam Ali. So when he comes to power, especially in the area of Sham, And later on with the peace treaty with Imam Hassan alayhi salam, when he gained control of the entire Muslim world at that time, the first thing he does is prevents the spread of the ahadith about Imam Ali alayhi salam. But you know, the ahadith about Imam Ali were nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He tried his best. But even now, it is amazing that when you compare the number of ahadith which still exist in the praise of Imam Ali alayhi salam, if you compare the numbers with the ahadith, concocted one or real ones, about the three khalafa together, you will see that the ahadith which have survived in the Sunni books about Imam Ali outnumber the ahadith about the khalafa. So that was the first attempt. The second was actually to fabricate narrations in praise of the khalafa and in praise of Banu Umayyah, his own family. And number three, he started tarnishing the image of Imam Ali alayhi salam and his family. And he started portraying, especially in the minds of the Syrian people, the Shami people, I should say, portraying Ali and Ali Ali as the enemies of Rasulullah, as the enemies of Islam. And this third method reached to the peak when the imams of the Jummah prayers were told by Muawiyah and his administration to publicly curse Imam Ali alayhi salam from the pulpit every Friday. And this continued, not for 1 year or 2 years or 10 years, it continued for 50 to 70 years. You can just imagine, you know, you have one or two generations growing up, hearing this bad things about Imam Ali in every Friday khutbah. It became part of the ritual. And this was the attempt, basically, to tarnish the image of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Since the people of Sham came into the fold of Islam after the Prophet's demise and under the rule of Muawiyah, they were ignorant of the history. They were ignorant of what was there in Medina. They were ignorant of the reality about the Prophet and his family. Muawiyah actually started projecting himself as a close relative of the Prophet and started projecting Imam Ali alayhi salam as an enemy of the Prophet. And so it's a long story. I just would like to summarize here that the people in Sham were ignorant. For example, we hear this many times that when the news of Imam Ali alayhi salam, shahadat, you know, a martyrdom reached to Syria, that he has been killed in the masjid, and not only in the masjid, but in the mihrab of the masjid, they were surprised. Because in their mind, the way the image of Ali had been portrayed, masjid and Ali could not be in the same place. And so this is where we see the ignorance of the people of Sham is concerned. However, the Muslims who lived outside the area of Sham, they were not ignorant. They knew the difference between falsehood and truth. They knew what is haq and what is batil. But very few of them had this courage to stand up and hear, you know, this weekly propaganda against Imam Ali in the Friday khutbas. Very few of them. And I would like to just, you know, highlight one example of the circumstances which were there before the events of Karbala. When I say there were very few who had the courage to stand up in the Friday prayer and object to this tradition of, you know, bed-mouthing Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Muttaqeen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, let me talk about the example of Hujr bin Adi. Salawat from the Iqbal. Hujr ibn Adi was a Sahabi and a close companion of Ali. In the Battle of Siffin, he was the commander of the Kindar tribe, his tribe, and he was his tribe was basically part of the army of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And so he was bad commander of that army. In Nahrawan also, he commanded the entire force of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And Hujr, the devotion that he had towards Amir al-Mu'mineen, the love that he had for Ali, he could not tolerate anyone abusing Imam Ali. You know, once Mughira bin Shu'bah, Muawiyah's governor in Kufa from year 41 to 50, ordered Hujr to ascend the pulpit, and curse Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali. Hujr, pretended to obey him and went on the minbar, and then he said, "Inna al-Amir amarani an ul'ina Aliyan fal'anuhu la'anahu Allah." You know, the literal translation of this statement would be that indeed the governor has ordered me to curse Ali, so all of you should curse him. The people responded by saying, "May Allah curse him." The governor fully realized that when Hujr was saying curse him, he was not referring to Ali, he was referring to the governor himself. Later on, after Mughira, you know, the governor of the Kufa became Ziyad bin Abi, a very evil person. And he used to speak very bad things about Amir al-Mu'mineen in the Friday khutbahs. And Hujr bin Adi and his companions would not be able to tolerate. They would actually stand up publicly, protest against Ziyad bin Abi. And they would also condemn Banu Umayyah. Ziyad wrote to Muawiyah. He says, "We have a problem. This group, you know, is not letting it go. They stand up whenever we say anything wrong about Ali, they protest." So Muawiyah wrote to him. He said, "Why don't you arrest them? Make a charge sheet for them, accuse them for something, and then arrest them and send him and his friends to Damascus. I will deal with them." And so four charges were, put against them. And they even had witnesses bought to come and say, yes, this is what they have done or they said. And so Hujr and his companions were arrested, and they were taken to Sham. Before reaching the city of Damascus, a messenger came from Muawiyah with the instructions to the officers who were bringing them that, you know, wherever you are, stop and give them two choices. Either they should curse Ali or they will be killed. These are the two choices you have. You know, when we say that we are Shia of Ali, remember that our time and the historical phase that we are going through, we still have things very easy. Just imagine, if you were in the place of Hujr, what would you do? You know, maybe you will say, well, this is the moment of taqiyya. Let's verbally do the la'anat, but in heart, I am still the lover of Ali. Their graves were dug. They were asked to stand by the graves. And then they were told, well, you had two choices, death and the grave or curse Ali. It's so simple. When the executor came to Hujr, Hujr asked him, "In kunta umirta bi qatli waladi faqaddimhu." According to one narration, Hujr was not alone in this group who were arrested. His son was with him. So he says to this person who was going to execute him, he says, "If you have also been ordered to kill my son, then my last wish is that you kill him first." And so this fellow was surprised, but he went ahead and, you know, killed the son of Hujr, and then he came to him. And then he says, "You know, why did you do this? Put yourself in this process of grief for your son." Look at the response of Hujr. Remember, he was a Shia just like us, an ordinary person, not an infallible, not from Banu Hashim, not from the family of the Ahlul Bayt. But look at the level that he had of the vilayat and love of Ali bin Abi Talib. Look at this concern that he had, that he wanted his son also to reach to the hereafter on the same iman of the love and devotion to Ali ibn Abi Talib. He says, خِفْتَ عَنْ يَرَى حَوْلَ السَّيْفِ عَلَىٰ أُنُقِ فَيَرْجِعْ عَنْ وِلَايَةِ عَلِيٍّ. I was afraid that if you kill me first, I was afraid that when my son will see the shining sword coming on my neck, he might denounce the wilayat of Ali. And then, لا نجتمع في دار المقام التي وعدها الله الصابرين. And then we will not be able to be together in the same place in the hereafter, the place which Allah has, you know, reserved for those who will be patient and sabireen. So even at that moment, he says, I'm willing to go through the suffering of seeing my own son being killed so that I can have this assurance when I die that my son did not denounce the wilayat of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This happened in the year 51 or 53 of the Hijrah. We are not sure exactly about the year when this happened. When you go for the ziyarat in Syria, there is the shrine of Hujr ibn Adi, which this mal'oon ISIS, you know, they tried to destroy it. And this is the amazing thing that, you know, the people who talk about Sahaba, 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 it's surprising nobody says much about, you know, the way they dug up the grave of Hujr ibn Abi and destroyed his shrine. It is with such sacrifice like that of Hujr ibn Abi Adi and his son and companions that Shiaism survived, and Shias cannot be wiped out from the historical land of Sham. It is the blood of this martyr which guaranteed that Shiaism will remain and survive in this land. Salawat Pranik Barwar. And so it was under such depression and demoralizing situation that you had to realize the impact of Zainab bint Ali. Zainab, with the help of Imam Zain al-Abidin and other women, led the counterattack against the Umayyad regime after the massacre of Karbala. Of course, her war and her counterattack was of a different type. It was not by swords and spears and arrows. It was by her speech, by her sermon, her words. Her words became her weapon. And remember, she was not singing. It was not qasida or not, you know, reciting mercy in a melodious manner. This is khutbah. She was giving a speech. I'm just making a comment because some of the ladies sometimes think that they have the hijab and then they can come on YouTube and, you know, recite the qasida or the mercy in a melodious manner. And they say, well, Zainab gave a khutbah in Sham and Kufa. Remember, khutbah is a speech. There is a big difference when you're giving a speech and when you're reciting poetry in a melodious fashion. So Bibi Zainab, in her sermon in Kufa, in her conversation with Ibn Ziyad in the governor's mansion, in the view of the people who were there, the audience, especially her historical sermon in the court of Yazid in Damascus, these words tore away the facade of Islam in relationship to the Prophet from Yazid and his family. She made the people of Sham realize that Yazid and his father are liars when they say they are from the family and relatives of the Prophet. She basically tore away that facade which was there, that they were propagating among the people of Sham. And so when you look at the contribution of Bibi Fatima and Bibi Zainab, the khutbah given by Bibi Fatima in Medina and the khutbah given by Bibi Zainab in Damascus, they were both there in support of the Imam of their own times. Fatima spoke in support of Ali and Zainab spoke in support of Hussein. this is where we have to realize that, you know, these ladies have actually been they have played a very crucial role in surviving, in survival of this message of Islam, which is known as Shiaism, which is the true Islam, actually. Because when the Prophet said, I'm leaving two things behind, the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt. And they were the one who protected this message of Rasulullah so that it has, you know, remained and continued till our days. Salawat. If you look at the khutbah of Bibi Zainab, the way she presented herself and her family as the real family members of the Prophet against the propaganda which had been waved by Banu Umayyah in Sham. And I'll dispense here from the Arabic wordings and just go to the translation directly. When addressing Yazid directly, she says, O Yazid, you have done what you wanted to do. By doing what you have done, you have actually pierced your own skin and have torn your own flesh. You actually hurt yourself. You will surely be presented to the Messenger of Allah with your crime of spilling the blood of his descendants and your act of violating the sanctity of his family and relatives. So she's making it very clear for the people of Sham that he will be presented there in the presence of Rasulullah with the crime of spilling the blood of his descendants and violating the sanctity of his women and children by making her and other women and children the captives the way they were, you know, displaying them in Kufa and Sham. She continues in her khutbah by saying, at that time, Allah will unite them and their separation and avenge those who oppress them and take their right from their enemies. Further in her khutbah, she says something which must have made, you know, Yazid shiver, where she says, it suffices for you, O Yazid, to know that on the day of judgment, Allah will be the judge. Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, will be the plaintiff against you. And Jibreel, the archangel, will be the supporter and the witness of Rasulullah. Not only that, my brothers and sisters, ponder on these words that she says after this. She says, those who facilitated this government for you and imposed you on the necks of the Muslims, all those who helped this process, where a person like Muawiyah and after him Yazid come to power over the Muslims, she says, all of them will soon know how evil the recompense of the transgressor shall be, and who among you will be in the worst place and the most misguided one. At the end, Zainab challenged Yazid in a very powerful manner, where she says, plan your stratagem, strive to your maximum, put your best efforts, but by Allah, neither will you be able to erase our memory from the people's mind, nor can you destroy our revelation, nor can you reach our heights. And your shame for killing my brother cannot be washed away. Look at this. She's saying, by Allah, you will never be able to erase our memory from the hearts and minds of the Muslims. You will never be able to destroy our revelation. She is describing Quran as our revelation, because he was the one, Yazid, in that gathering, reciting verses of a mushrik poet of the early days of Islam, where he belies the revelation of the Quran. He says, there is no news which has come from, you know, up. from the heavens. فَلَا خَبَرٌ جَاءَ وَلَا وَحْيٌ نَذَلٌ. There was no news which came from up and no revelation was revealed. This is what Yazid was reciting in that gathering. And that's where Zainab is challenging. You will not be able to erase our memory, nor will you be able to destroy our Quran. And try whatever you want. You and your family will never be able to attain our heights and our position. And your shame and disgrace for killing Hussein will never be washed away. This is Zainab in a very powerful way, you know, destroying this facade that Banu Umayyah had created among themselves, among the people of Sham. I think the best, salutation to Zainab is that after Yazid, even Yazid, you know, he killed Hussein because Hussein had refused to do bay'at. But after Karbala, even Yazid did not dare ask Imam Zainul Abidin to do bay'at. Not only that, when Yazid died, his own son refused to take on the Khilafat because he said that the foundation of this Khilafat of my father is based on evil. And so this was the immediate impact of the struggle of Zainab with the support of Imam Zainul Abidin, Umm Kulthum, Fatima bint al-Husayn, and other women of the family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to appreciate the immense contribution of Fatima and Zainab in survival of this original Islam, which is known as the Shia Islam. Salawat. Janab Zainab ki wafat ki majlis hai. ہم نے انگریزی میں جناب زینب کے خطبے کے آخری جو جملے پیش کیے ہیں اس میں جناب زینب نے جو جملہ کہا ہے فَوَاللَّهِ لَا تَمُحُوا ذِكْرُنَا وَلَا تُمِیتُ وَحْيُنَا کہ خدا کی قسم تم ہماری یاد کو لوگوں کے دل و دماغ سے مٹا نہیں سکتے ہو اور ہماری وحی کو تم ختم نہیں کر سکتے ہو خدا کی قسم کھا کے علی کی بیٹی جو ہے یہ اعلان کرتی ہے کہ ہمارے ذکر کو تم مٹا نہیں سکتے ہو. صدیاں گزر گئی ہیں, زینب کا نام ہر جگہ ہے, ابھی بھی زندہ و جاوید ہے. یزید کا نام ہے لیکن بدنام ہے. اور یہ کیوں ہوا ہے؟ خدا کی قسم کھاتی ہیں اس لیے کہ زینب کا لگاؤ خدا سے تھا. فَوَاللَّهِ لَا تَمْحُوا ذِكْرُنَا, تم ہماری ذکر اور ہماری یاد کو بلا نہیں سکتے ہو, محو نہیں کر سکتے ہو, اریز نہیں کر سکتے ہو, اس لیے کہ زینب نے بھی کبھی بھی خداوند عالم کے ذکر اور یاد کو بھولی نہیں تھی. یہ ایک معاملہ تھا زینب اور اللہ کے درمیان. چونکہ زینب کبھی بھی ذکر الہی کو انہوں نے چھوڑا نہیں تھا, لہذا خداوند عالم نے بھی زینب کے ذکر کو ہمیشہ زندہ و جاوید رکھا ہے. ابھی بھی آپ دیکھ لیں کہ جناب زینب سے دو روزے منسوب ہیں, ایک وہ مرقد ہے جو کائرو میں ہے اور دوسرا وہ ہے جو مشہور ہے دمسکس میں. ہسٹوریکلی جو بھی اوپینین ہوں علماء کا, ہسٹورینس کا, اس سے میں مطلب نہیں ہے, لیکن یہ عجیب غریب بات ہے, شخصیت ایک ہے لیکن دو روزے بنے ہوئے ہیں اور دونوں میں لوگ بڑی بڑی تعداد میں زیارتوں کے لیے جاتے ہیں. ہاں, کائرو میں زیادہ تر سنی جاتے ہیں, دمشق کے سبرب میں جو زینبیہ ہے وہاں زیادہ تر شیعہ جاتے ہیں. اور یہ برکت ہے جناب زینب کے اس ذکر الہی کی. اگر جناب زینب کے ذکر الہی کے نمونہ دیکھنا ہو تو ہمیں ادھر ادھر جانے کی ضرورت نہیں ہے. بلکہ ہمیں امام زین العابدین علیہ السلام کی گواہی ملتی ہے اس سلسلے میں. امام زین العابدین فرماتے ہیں کہ وہ شب جسے ہم شام غریبہ کہتے ہیں، عاشور کے بعد 11 محرم کی جو شب آتی ہے، اس کے بارے میں آپ سوچ لیں. امام زین العابدین فرماتے ہیں کہ اس رات کو بھی ہماری پھپھی نے نماز شب کو ترک نہیں کیا ہے. زدارن حسین، آپ سوچ لیں، وہ خاتون جس کے گھر کے 18 افراد ایک دن میں بروٹلی قتل کر دیے گئے ہوں، ایک دو کی بات نہیں ہو رہی ہے، 18 افراد، جس میں اولاد بھی ہے، بھائی بھی ہیں، بھتیجے بھی ہیں، دوسرے اعزہ بھی ہیں، کزنز بھی ہیں. اور اس کے بعد صرف قتل کی بات نہیں ہے، بھائی کے لاش کی پامالی کے منظر کو زینب نے دیکھا ہے اس وقت، خیموں کو جلا دینا، اہل حرم کی چادروں کو لوٹنا. ان تمام مناظر کو دیکھنے کے بعد اگر کوئی شخص اس رات کو نماز واجبی ادا کرے تو ہم اس کو سلام کہیں گے. لیکن یہ عظمت ہے جناب زینب کی کہ اس رات میں بھی نماز شب کو ترک نہیں کرتی ہیں. اور یہ در حقیقت یہ دلیل ہے، ایک معصوم امام کی گواہی ہے کہ ذکر الہی کے اس منزلت پہ جناب زینب فائز تھی. ایک اور معصوم گواہی آپ دیکھیں، امام حسین علیہ السلام کے بارے میں روایات میں ملتا ہے، جب آخری الوداع کے لیے آئے ہیں اہل حرم کے پاس، تو جب وہاں سے رخصت ہوتے ہوتے زینب سے ایک جملہ کہتے ہیں، یا اختا لا تنسانی فی صلاۃ اللیل، اے بہن مجھے اپنی نماز شب میں مت بھولنا. یہ ذکر لازم نہیں تھا، لیکن زینب نے حسین نے در حقیقت زینب کی عظمت کو بیان کرنے کے لیے کہا ہے، اس لیے کہ حسین صرف معصوم امام نہیں ہے، یہ سید شباب اہل الجنہ ہے، جوانان جنت کے سردار ہے، لیکن وہ بھی آخری وقت پہ جو ہے بہن سے درخواست کرتے ہیں کہ بہن مجھے نماز شب میں مت بھولنا. عزادار حسین، جب یہ قافلہ کوفہ سے شام کی طرف روانہ ہوا ہے، ایک منزل آتی ہے کہ امام زین العابدین نے دیکھا کہ پھپھی اپنی نماز تو ادا کر رہی ہے لیکن بیٹھ کر ادا کر رہی ہے. امام زین العابدین کو ذرا فکر بھی ہوئی، تعجب بھی ہوا، جا کے پوچھتی ہیں، پھپھی جان یہ بیٹھ کے نماز پڑھنے کی وجہ کیا ہے؟ فرماتی ہیں کہ بیٹا، جو کھانا تقسیم ہوتا ہے ہم لوگوں میں وہ سب کے لیے کافی نہیں ہے، ہم اپنے حصے کی روٹی اکثر جو ہے بچوں میں تقسیم کر دیتے ہیں. تمہاری پھپھی کے پاس اب اتنی طاقت نہیں کہ کھڑی ہو کر نماز ادا کر سکے. الا لعنت اللہ علی القوم الظالمین سیعلم الذین ظلموا ای منقلب ینقلبون. خدا وندہ اس قلیل عباد قبول فرما، ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے، ہماری توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما. خدا وندہ زینب کا واسطہ، زینب کی مظلومیت کا واسطہ، ان کی خطبہ کا واسطہ، اس منظر کا واسطہ جب دربار یزید میں کھڑی ہو کے کہتی ہیں، یزید یہ کیا انصاف ہے کہ تیری گھر کی عورتیں پردے میں رہیں لیکن بناتے رسول کو منزے ملے عام میں اس طرح سے پیش کیا جائے. خداوندہ زینب کی اس مظلومیت کا واسطہ، کرونا وائرس کی اس مصیبت سے تمام انسانوں کو خصوصاً شیعان علی کو محفوظ رکھ. خداوندہ شیعان علی جہاں بھی ہیں ان کو اپنے حفاظت میں رکھ. تکفیری افواج کے تمام صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما. امام زمانہ کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم.